and welcome to Original Content, the podcast from TechCrunch about streaming shows, media in general, most of the time, actually. I'm Daryl Etherington.
I'm Jordan Crook.
And I'm Anthony Ha.
And we're going to jump right into it. We got streaming news first, right, Anthony? Big news?
That's right. We are going to start with some news about Apple. So obviously over the last few weeks or few months, we keep having these announcements about different kinds of shows that Apple has greenlit. And now in this New York Times profile of Apple's strategy, they basically said that the current target is to launch whatever this is. And it's not totally clear yet if this is a completely new service or if it's going to live within the TV app or what. But whatever it is, it's going to launch next March, which means that all these things we've announced, you are not going to see for another year at least.
But we finally will see them, maybe, hopefully. But we haven't had any timeline before now, right? Have we?
Just sort of vague sort of rumblings of, maybe you'll see it, this show, they'd like to get it going at some point. But yeah, I mean, this is really the first timeline at all.
It's like the newslessness of that news. In 1 year, this may or may not come out because
years fly by.
Makes me think of Dawson's Creek for some reason. The term years fly by. I don't know why.
Oh man, did you see the?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I watched all of it. I watched it for 55 minutes. That's how long it was.
What, they did a 50? I just saw the magazine cover. I didn't watch it.
No, they did a 55-minute recap of. With all of the characters and cast sitting there talking about their relationships. They're really unlikable, to be honest.
We should say, for people who didn't see this, this is the People magazine reunion of the Dawson's Creek cast, right?
Yeah,
20th anniversary of the show. They got the whole cast together. And then People did an interview with the whole cast. And they talked to producers and the creators and all that stuff. And it really invigorated me to go and rewatch the show. Marie's never seen it. She was four when it came out.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I tried to get her to watch the first couple episodes. The first couple episodes are actually kind of hard to get through, I feel like. You really have to get to a moment where, you're invested in either Dawson and Joey or Dawson and Michelle Williams' character or Jack or, you know what I mean? You really have to get invested in someone before you care. But then once you care, you, really, really care.
Yeah.
So.
I can tell you, I still care.
I still care. Yeah. those pictures with Katie Holmes and Jackson. What's his name again?
Joshua Jackson. He's Canadian.
Kind of getting cuddly was everything to me.
Yeah.
I was 14 again exploring love.
It was amazing to look at it and then be like, man, these people have lived. They've been years between them and now. And those have been some hard, weird years. I mean, I think for Katie Holmes especially.
Especially. And you could tell, you have to watch the interview, Daryl, because you can tell she's sitting there and she's asked about the Pacey versus Dawson kind of question of who should she have ended up with and all of this stuff. And she's just I'm glad I didn't have to choose. And it's just so quiet. And it's just
it's just the weight of ages.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
how could you ask me about this? I've been in a cult.
I've had so much going on. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Oh man, I really got us off track. I'm really sorry.
That's
about
okay. No, it's going to be its own chapter in the edited version.
So go watch it. It's on Hulu. If you haven't seen Dawson's Creek yet, it is truly a touchstone. It is part of the lexicon.
It is.
I mean, I had a huge crush on Katie Holmes from my entire adolescence, and that show is the reason why.
Yeah. And then
I think we all did.
Vanderbeek. I just saw him in something. Oh, I was on the plane and I watched Downsizing. He's in that.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very briefly.
He was really good in Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
That's what I always hear. I haven't watched that.
Yeah, I never could get into that. He plays himself, right?
Uh-huh, right. I mean, obviously a ridiculous version of himself, but he plays James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, he was very unlikable in the interview that I watched. He's just tells this long story about how they took him to a mall to do autograph signing and he had to leave in a cop car because women were just throwing themselves at him.
Oh man.
I was just dude, people are starving.
maybe
in
he's,
this world right now. It's Can you just chill on yourself?
What was the movie that was so good with him in it where he was kind of that person in real life?
Rules of Attraction?
Rules of Attraction, yeah. God, I love that movie. I thought it was great.
Anyway, I just think it's lame that they were like, oh, the news is coming, or the all these shows are coming out in March of next year, when like we don't really know that. Anything could stop production or slow things down. Or
yeah, I mean, well, like Reese Witherspoon has a pretty full slate, I think.
Yeah.
Considering she's involved in like half of the projects they have going.
Yeah, yeah, I think three shows for them.
Yeah. And then for other
people. And they've got 9 different shows in the pipeline right now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. So
watch, next March will come around and it'll be like Carpool Karaoke season 2.
it'll just be like a bunch of Carpool Karaoke spinoffs.
Yeah, yeah. Carpooler Karaoke. Carpool-est Karaoke.
The Carpool Karaoke Cinematic Universe.
Oh, God. No. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I mean, I guess technically Carpool Karaoke is itself a spinoff, so.
That's true. It already is an expanded universe scenario.
Wow. I'd love to see a Carpool Karaoke spinoff.
There's going to be one where it's a dog, and the dog is driving, and then the celebrity has to sing.
There's going to be one where they're just on bikes, not in a car.
That's a good one. There's probably a boat one.
All right, so all Jordan, different kinds of transportation.
If Apple somehow does not realize the great contempt that we all have for this show, and they ask you to guest host a segment, which celebrity would you want to be in the car with you?
Oh, boy.
Oh, for Carpool Karaoke?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think I just have to dream big in that situation and just be with someone who is like...
Who? I'm waiting.
I don't know. That's a tough one. I was thinking it's between like Beyonce and Adele, maybe. I think I would have more fun with Adele, but I think Beyonce is just like so many eyeballs would be on that content. That's a great exposure for old J. Crook. You know what I mean?
That's really what this is about. Who's going to get us the most views? Oh, you're using it as a lever.
Yeah, yeah, I see.
You'd have to use it as a lever. Like if you took it seriously, you wouldn't believe in yourself. Yeah, at the end of the day. So you'd have to like use it as a stepping stone and be really strategic about it. Like I think Beyonce is really talented, but she doesn't like talk much in public. So I don't know what it would be like to sit in a car with her. I think I'd be really scared.
Right.
But I think people would enjoy watching me scared of Beyonce for like 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Adele, because again, people love anything Adele does. Also, like the last time she was on it was really funny. Like she's so good and so funny and like just says what's on her mind. And I think that's so pretty rare with celebrities. So
I think I would pick Bobcat Goldthwait. Probably.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the words you just said. Who?
He's from Police Academy.
But they have to be singers. Like if it was just anyone.
He's got a pretty good voice.
Like he's expanding the format of the show.
Anyways, Jeff Goldblum is my real
maybe
choice.
Kate McKinnon, if we're just choosing like any celebrity.
Yeah. There you go.
I would do it with the Violent Femmes because I know I would do a great job singing, and it might not do as well, but it, like view wise, but everyone who watches it would be like, that guy can sing, and that's all I want.
Oh,
that's
all
about you. Like you want your voice to be discovered?
You went real karaoke way.
Why are you laughing, Jordan? You heard me sing. You know that I'm amazing.
You are so skilled as a performer. I am laughing out of happiness.
How great it is.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. All right. Well,
oh, wow.
Now that we've had a couple of digressions, let's just move on. Let's pretend this whole Apple thing never happened. And so there's a piece of news about Netflix as well. And this actually ties into our discussion of cinematic universes, which is that Netflix is not only making an animated series about Carmen Sandiego from the, you know, from video games and television fame, but they are also making a movie, and Gina Rodriguez is actually going to star in both versions.
Yes. So that will be good?
I think. I don't know. I mean, we're probably not the target audience anymore. Did you guys watch, Carmen Sandiego growing up or play the game?
I watched it.
I definitely
like,
did.
but it's so far, it's like so buried in my memory. Like I remember the song and stuff, and I remember like the red hat and jacket, but like I don't, like it's really deep down there. It's not like one of my cornerstones of like childhood cartoons and stuff. You know what I mean?
It was just like a very, I mean, it was very much like a game show. Like it was pretty hewed pretty closely to the standard, but then they just had kids around, so they weren't making like the thing, sex jokes.
You can watch old episodes on YouTube, and I mean, the kids are very awkward in a way that's very charming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gotta love awkward kids.
Yeah,
they're the best.
I mean, the sure. Best. If
they
I'm
turn into awkward adults like us,
my favorite kids.
I mean, I guess it would, but like one of the things that Daryl, you'd said when we were like slacking about this was just this idea of, you know, Netflix kind of strip mining our childhoods. They, I mean, they've already got a show based on the Magic School Bus, which I have not seen. But it seems like there's definitely this sort of, I guess there's probably aiming for this sweet spot of, you know, reaching actual children, but then also, you know, getting parents and people our age who are just nostalgic and miss Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's like, it's less about the specific idea of Carmen Sandiego and more like, I just don't like Netflix thinking they can get away with this continually. Like, just
like what falls under that category though? Like, does Queer Eye fall under that category?
No.
It's like a nostalgia mongering type thing.
I don't think it does. I think it's close enough that it's like, no, I don't know. Maybe not.
Did you guys talk about Queer Eye on an episode once?
I don't think we have. No. I hadn't watched it before. I've recently watched most of the reboot, or at least half of the reboot. So we could talk about it now. But I had not before. But I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Like, laugh and cry every episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's a bit kind of like, it's almost like too much. It's like, oh God, like you know what you're doing and I don't appreciate it. Like you ruined
me. But it's working.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, it is working.
Works every time.
Yeah. But so
I've digressed again.
No, I know. I think that's still good. Like it's good for context. Like I still feel like that is like fine. Like I think it's fine to take stuff that maybe ended before its time and kind of like continue on with it. Like the Joel McHale show is actually a good example of that too. I really like the Stupid Soup reboot that they did. What's it called?
It's called the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale.
That's right. Okay, I should have remembered that.
it's a good name.
Pretty obvious.
Yeah. But yeah, I do like that, and I think, but I just think like this is like they're just taking it and repurposing it, right? And it's like, well, it's kind of like the Magic School Bus thing, right? I honestly don't know. I have no real kind of insight into how that did. I also don't have children and don't really know that many people with children of TV watching age. So,
does the fact that this is potentially educational and could help teach children about geography alleviate your anger at all?
I mean, sure, it's fine. It's not going to affect me, right, ultimately? So I shouldn't have strong feelings one way or another. But I just think it's just like they're a bit opportunistic, right? And it's kind of like, come on, sure, guys, like come up with some new stuff or something.
But although they also just have so much stuff. I mean, we've talked about this in the show before, but like not like I think recently they've like, or at least I only noticed it recently, is now they do this thing where when you log into Netflix, they tell you how many new things they've added since like in the last day or something, and it's like. So it was like I logged in today and it was like 12 new shows added today and it was just absurd.
Yeah, it is intense. But if you look through it, I don't know how much you have looked through it. Well they did it. I mean, we're going to talk about this later in the episode, but they dropped the new season of Terrace House like completely unbeknownst to me, which is crazy because I love it and I was not aware. Like I stumbled upon it by accident when browsing through the list, right? So it's got a bit of that going on. But I think by and large, you can safely ignore about like 90% of the stuff that they do release these days. So, you know, I mean, it's laudable in some ways that they're making so much, but at the same time, it seems like there's a lot more filler crap in there.
Right. I mean, it's laudable in the sense of like, hey, we're making things for different audiences. And so stuff that...
No, those audiences are bad. Me as audience. Me.
Okay.
Jesus. Chill.
But, well, you're wrong.
Daryl's acting out, man. You're like getting it all out there. So just go for it.
But I think like it's also that I think it's really hard then for like one thing to sort of break out and like, you know, become like a big hit and sort of dominate the conversation. I mean, one of the things I thought was in a piece of news that ties together some of these things we were talking about was also like some of the discussion around the new reboot of Roseanne and how that just did apparently incredibly well.
Yeah.
And there were some people asking like, well, if they, you know, if Netflix apparently had been bidding for this as well, if Netflix had gotten it, would it have gotten made the same impact as if it had aired on broadcast TV?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not as much clarity into that either. Like, no, it's not like Netflix is like, oh, we saw this many views of this.
Sometimes
like,
they do when they're extremely proud of it, but fairly rare.
Pretty rare.
Like they did with, what's it called? The Will Smith thing, right? The movie. They gave
although I don't think they said the exact number. I think the exact number was something that somebody else released, Netflix just said, all Netflix will usually say is this is, you know, the most popular movie right now or the most popular movie we've released and things like that. They'll never give out exact numbers.
Oh, they stick with the Amazon.
It's like Amazon, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, it's all superlatives.
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah.
Are you angry about the Roseanne reboot, too?
Oh, the Roseanne...
I didn't watch it. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it.
I watched clips, and like, I mean, the thing that's really shocking is how it really is the exact same style as the 90s TV show, which I guess is what they did with Full House, too. Full House and Fuller House.
Yeah, I definitely didn't watch Fuller House.
No, me neither.
I watched one. I watched half of the Roseanne. First episode. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. I'm not exaggerating. It was terrible. It was awful.
Yeah, I believe that. I really believe that. No, it's like, you know, when Will and Grace came back, that was like such a thing. You know what I mean? Like, and they really came out swinging, I feel like, which is exactly what you would expect from Will and Grace. And I really liked it. And it was like a lot of nostalgia. Roseanne, I feel like, was one of those shows I watched a lot as a kid and really liked. But I don't know. I didn't watch it on opening night, and I've read so much about it, and I just like find myself a little confused about the whole thing, to be honest. Like, it seems like kind of controversial. Like, wasn't it like, you know, Roseanne, the character in the show, as well as the actress and producer, is very like Trump supportive.
Yes.
And then her sister Jackie is obviously a Clinton supporter. And I think it's interesting to like take that like very suburban discourse that's been happening for the last year or 2 years and like put it on TV. But what I was reading about it was just that like it was almost like stressful to watch it play out because it all like culminates to punchlines instead of culminating to like, no, I feel this way. Like, I really feel this way, and I don't know how to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
which
I think
they're
doing
that. Can
be
stressful for a sitcom.
Like, they're using it as, like, a prop. As, like, yeah, the setup to easy jokes. And then what I read about it, too, is, like, it sounds like the Jackie character is more the, like, comic foil. And then Roseanne gets the last laugh, so to speak, or the punchline off of her, right? And it's not a sophisticated examination of that, like, that difficulty. It's like shitty jokes about, like, somebody cited one of the jokes was they're like doing a prayer before eating dinner or whatever, and then like Roseanne says, oh, do you want to take a knee, to Jackie? And it's like, oh, God. Like, that alone, I was like, okay, I'll never watch this or anything to do with any of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, whatever.
It hits heartstrings, you know? Like, it actually hits you in a way that I think, I don't know. And maybe that's how, like, conservatives and Trump supporters have felt watching TV over the last year and a half and just hearing every single thing kind of mock them. But
yeah. Unless you're Queer Eye, and then it's like, hey, we all want to make
Queer
this.
Eye, you literally bring everyone together.
We all
want to
make
it.
America great together. That's what the guy's line was on that, remember? And it was like,
yeah.
I mean, okay. There's still a big problem of like, if you really support him, it's very problematic, and there's a lot of racism and stuff. But sure. We'll, for the sake of this episode, let's be fine with this. But yeah, I feel like they kind of do. I think this new show is guilty of a lot of that, where it's like, no, no, these are real issues. You can't just pretend like, oh, we're all people. It's like, no, this guy's bad and has really bad ideas. And the problems underlying it aren't just like a difference of political opinion. It's like he wants to kill, hurt, or deport people who are real human beings, right? So it's not really.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's often sort of the challenge of like, where do you draw the line of like, well, I mean, and, you know, not to get too deeply into this, but like, I mean, my mom is a Trump supporter. And so, you know, to a certain extent, we've just accepted that we just don't talk about politics.
Right.
And but like, where do you decide like, OK, this is a political disagreement, but we can still get along? And where are you like, no, you clearly think that I'm not a human being and don't count, and therefore go fuck yourself.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
That's tough.
It is tough.
Yeah. And since we're not going to resolve that,
let's keep it light. Let's keep it light. Yeah,
I'm just trying to keep it moving, guys. Just trying to keep it moving. This is a little digressive. I think it's good, but I'm just trying to like, you know, just charge through.
Let's aim for world peace.
I don't even remember where we started.
Yeah, I don't know what news topic we're on just then.
Oh, Carmen Sandiego, of course.
Oh shit, man, we are bad at this.
No, we're good. This is
we're
good.
Good at this. Good, yeah, we're wanderers. All right.
So there were also a couple of new trailers this week. Yes, I think sort of the first. It was the first big trailer for season two of Westworld, and then there was also a new trailer for The Handmaid's Tale. Did you guys watch them?
Yes.
No.
I watched for Handmaid's Tale like 4 times because I wrote about it, so I just kept watching it over and over again, try to like pick it apart a little bit.
I didn't watch either of them. I feel like I should, because I was at the NVIDIA's GPU conference just talking about GPUs the whole week.
That sounds horrible.
GPUs, I mean, help power the delivery of those trailers.
They do everything, basically, is what I learned.
Yeah. That's okay, well, I'm going to go back to the trailers, like, I mean, though.
There's a lot of important things we don't have to talk about, you know?
Here, wait.
Like the operation of our toilets.
You guys go ahead and talk. I'm going to put this on mute and then I'm going to watch it. But you continue.
You're going to watch the trailers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the Handmaid's Tale trailer looks really good. It's got, you know, this is the first time the show will kind of veer away from the book, because the first season essentially ends the same way that Margaret Atwood's book ends. It's got Offred. She's just rebelled. They, you know, Aunt Lydia wanted her to stone alongside the other handmaids, Janine, the one who lost her eye. And they all say no. And she says, there will be consequences. And she goes home and the, like, a van shows up with the eyes. And Nick, the guy who was the driver, whatever, essentially says, like, don't worry, just go with it. Like, I've got a plan. And she gets in the car, not really knowing if she's going to go be punished or she's going to be rescued. Like, I think the exact quote was like, this is not in my hands anymore. Like, I'm giving myself up to whatever is going to happen. And so the trailer kind of picks up and is trying to expand this universe that Margaret Atwood created. It goes into the colonies. There are a couple new characters, but like, the revolution is most certainly coming. And we'll just see kind of who lands on top, but I still think Handmaid's Tale is one of the best things that was made over the last couple of years. I'm really, really excited to see season two. I think there's plenty of critical acclaim, et cetera, heading that way. So that's an exciting one, obviously. And that's coming soon, right? It's like...
yeah, I think in the next few weeks.
Like mid-April, I believe. Or April 20th, yeah. Something like that. So it's like...
Yeah, I'll look that up.
Yeah, let's get it right. April 22nd. I'm just going to keep throwing out numbers until you figure it out.
We'll just go all the numbers through. Let's see. What's the premiere date here? Come on.
I got to be right. It's one of those two.
April 25th.
Damn it. I was so close.
You were close. You were close.
April 25th. So soon. That's an exciting one. And then the Westworld. You know, I only watched the Westworld trailer once, but I did... funnily enough, get yesterday, pardon me, out of nowhere, I get a calendar invite for Westworld season premiere from like my girlfriend and all okay. my friends are on it. So everybody's excited about this trailer that dropped. It essentially looks like another revolution, just like Handmaid's Tale, where like the droids are gonna rise up. And
well, I mean, that's basically, I mean, I guess we're spoiling seasons one of both Handmaid's Tale and Westworld, but yeah, that's how season one of Westworld ends, is the droids, I forget what the term was, the hosts, basically, you know, slaughtering a whole bunch of people.
Yeah. And that was great. And it's weird.
Yeah, I'm excited for both, for sure. I think because it's Handmaid's Tale had already released a trailer, so I didn't necessarily watch the latest one, but
the latest one's longer, and it's just okay. got more kind of meat to it.
Yeah, I feel like in general, I try to like watch when they release the first trailer. It's fun to watch because it just gives you like your first taste. But then if you keep watching the trailers, you suddenly just get exposed to so much footage that it gets a little out of control. So I try to just watch like the first one and then not necessarily try to keep up with all of them.
That's an interesting practice. Yeah, I eat that shit up. I want to watch them all as many times as possible. Because it's like, it's been kind so of long, what, you know?
Yeah. I think part of it is just like, I think sometimes I study them too closely otherwise, so it's just good to, I don't get worked up about it though. Like, I know some people who, you know, or I've talked to people who will just like cover their ears during trailers, even in like movie theaters and stuff. And that's insane. I don't do stuff like that, but I'm just saying, like,
trailers are the best part of a movie.
That is correct.
What? Often. Yeah, they are. It's like watching 7 movies before your movie starts. It's the best. I think that with the Westworld one, like, what I hope for season 2, and this might be a little controversial, but like, baby spoiler alert, I'm not going to tell you anything about the plot, but like, there was a timeline situation going on in season 1 where you weren't really sure what was going on. Like, the series itself was its own mystery, like trying to unpack what was going on. Not mysteries within the plot, just like, what are we looking at? You know what I mean? And I kind of hope that season 2 veers away from that a little bit. Like, I hope we just get like a kind of straightforward plot. I don't know if that's too much to ask.
I agree with that.
Or it like detracts from the show. But I think there's like a strong enough structure in place for a story to be told without any like tricks, you know? Like,
I think you might be out of luck though, because after just watching that, they have a bunch of scenes with young, what's his name, in it? Young man in black guy.
Yeah, I know.
But maybe, well, I guess there's not a trick anymore because we know that now.
Yeah, so at least they can tell those two storylines with us knowing, being in on it. You know what I mean? We weren't even in on it last time.
Right.
For most of the season. So I just hope that they like just let the story speak for itself and don't like convolute things too much. Like, I'm all for big, fun reveals, but just like do that. Be chill about it. You know what I mean? Be chill.
Yeah.
I got the hiccups.
That was my main complaint about season 1 was, I mean, I actually enjoyed being sort of confused, especially in the early episodes, but it got to a point where it really felt like they were building more around like twists and like sort of, you know, complicated storytelling, and hadn't spent enough time just like established doing basic work in terms of like how the world works, how much free will the hosts have. I mean, obviously some of that is meant to be an open question, and it's not, you know, there's not an easy answer to that, but it felt very like that there was a certain inconsistency, and they were just kind of making stuff up to make for like a fun twist. And so I think, yeah, if they can, you know, have slightly more straightforward storytelling, I would hope that would also lead to stronger character and world building as well.
Well, and I hope that whatever happened in season 1 kind of plays a role in some way, because like, I heard someone say right after season 1 came out that the show could have started with season 1 finale. And like, I kind of see how that's true.
Oh, like, so you that's feel where like things, that nothing else was important?
No, that's what I'm hoping that what the hours we put into season 1 end up being like a base laying that was necessary for season 2. I hope that. You know what I mean? Like, I hope that what we saw and learned and all of that exposition is valuable to the greater story and wasn't just like this is what this world is like. Like, get used to this, like be attached to this person. Okay. Like, now we're going to get into what actually happens. You know what I mean? Right.
I did feel like I didn't mind though, because I don't know. I thought it was just very, structurally interesting world. So I was happy to just kind of learn about it or whatever.
I get that
at pace, but
it's like when you watch like a really shitty space movie and you're like, this is okay because it's space.
Yeah, or I'd say similar with like reading, you know, kind of bad sci-fi too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, and that's not to say that Westworld's bad. I'm gonna get like a bunch of Twitter hate. Like, Westworld's great show and everything, but like, it doesn't, if we're looking at Westworld and HBO's library as like the series that's supposed to replace Game of Thrones fandom, you know, I'm just like not quite there yet. And I know a lot of people who are like really serious about Westworld and like were committed before it even came out, you know, but like, I'm just waiting to like care as much as I care about other shows.
Yeah.
And I just don't yet. So hopefully season two tips the scale, because I really do want some Sunday night HBO show that does what Game of Thrones does to me, which is have me like ready to go for like a whole hour and a half, just like so into it.
Yeah. After watching those two trailers, I have a theory that they're the same. It's in the same universe.
Go on.
Well, I don't know. That's all. I just watched.
Just a feeling.
Just throwing out something crazy.
Yeah. Who knows? Could happen.
Yeah, it could happen.
Yeah. The
Handmaid's Tale has some good theory, but it
looked
like
I don't know, maybe even more dismal and desperate and dark than the first.
That seems like what people are saying about it. I mean, I think that is actually one thing people are saying about both of those season twos, is that they're even darker than the first season. Although maybe that's just, you know, hype.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that like the traditional cadence of a show like this?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
You have to like go down to come up, like, you know, like climbing down into the crevasse kind of thing.
I also feel
right,
like
it'd be
or
weird.
You just go all the way down like Game of Thrones or whatever. But I also think the like the scenes they showed, you're talking about the Shogun era stuff or whatever. I feel like the trailer could be like really lopsided in terms of how much it actually gives away. Like that could be their trick. A lot of the West stuff could be within like an episode or two.
Yeah.
And then the
rest, I could see that happening.
Shift setting or something.
Someone recently told me that their theory is that they're on the moon or something, because by that point in the future, everything's so overpopulated that they might not even be on Earth.
Oh my God. And then it's from director, what's his name? And it's about Moon, the movie.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I don't know.
No.
Whatever. Anyways, I'm excited. New good quality TV coming soon. I feel like we're in a bit of a drought right now. So,
well, Jordan, you've been filling your time partly by watching some movies. You've been wrapping up your look at that transition.
Nice.
You're wrapping up the your initial watch of the Star Wars movies. So now you've seen Force Awakens and
Last Jedi. Yeah, I don't know. Have you guys heard of these movies? They're pretty good.
No.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar.
Familiar with the franchise?
Yeah. Do you think we should watch them, Jordan?
I think you should invest a little money. You know,
I was
gonna
buy the Force Awakens, not the Force Awakens. What's the newest one?
Last Jedi.
I was gonna buy the Last Jedi because it's on iTunes, and then I saw it's in HD because they're doing. I forgot that Disney's doing their like withholding of the 4K content from digital services. So
it's like not even.
Oh yeah, they're saving it for their own service.
I think so. Yeah. So I was like, oh no, sorry. Not gonna happen.
You're only interested in 4K, huh?
That's all now. All 4K.
So I heard that Last Jedi like didn't really do as well. Why do you guys think that is? Because I thought it was good, a good film. It like follows the same path as all the other ones. Like, there's nothing that stands out that would make it like.
There was a lot, Jordan. We can't.
Well, tell me then.
We can't get back.
Okay,
into
so.
It.
I'm gonna let Daryl collect his thoughts. So I think. One thing to keep in mind, right, is when people say that it did not do as well, it's still like, I mean, if you don't adjust for inflation, it's the second highest grossing film of all the Star Wars movies. And it's like one of the top 5 or like top 10 grossing films domestically and internationally. So it did very well, but it didn't make as much money as The Force Awakens. It like Force Awakens made like $900 million domestically, and The Last Jedi made like $600 million. And I think some of that was just like culturally, Force Awakens just made so much money because it was at this moment, right, when everyone was like, oh my God, Star Wars is coming back. And I think you just can't replicate that level of excitement. And then I think the other thing was that it is sort of a more downbeat film. And so in the same way that, I mean, Empire Strikes Back is the lowest grossing movie of the original trilogy, I don't think it's like shocking that this movie didn't do quite as well. But I mean, maybe Disney was a little disappointed, but I think it's still, you know, they made a ton of money.
Yeah. So like, it's hard to like parse, because I feel like Force Awakens and Last Jedi, I really watched them like pretty back to back, and they're obviously a continuation of the same story. So it's hard for me to remember what happened when, but I will say that the scene when Kylo and Rey are talking to the Supreme Leader and he, whatever, like all that shit goes down and they kind of look at each other and decide to like fight off these other guys together. It's like pretty epic. I don't, you have a problem with that too, Daryl?
No, I don't.
No, okay,
this
good.
Is, I just like when I, we, the, when it came out, it was just a real bummer. It was a bummer, all the response to it and reaction and back and forth fighting. So I was
What was a bummer about it? Too much action?
No. The response, it was like very politicized and horrible and unpleasant.
So what happened was basically before the movie came out, all the professional reviews came and it was, you know, it's one possibly the most positively reviewed of all the Star Wars movies. Like it was like a, you know, close to like 100% on both Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic. But then, like, there was this really intense fan backlash, although no one's, it's hard to know exactly how many people actually gave a shit about any of this. It could have just been like, you know, 1,000 people who were really pissed off. But I think a lot of the anger was focused on the treatment of Luke. And I think that a lot of like geeks and Star Wars fans had put so much of their, you know, had this very specific idea of who Luke Skywalker was and how his story should end. And this movie didn't match that. And so there were things like a petition to remove this movie from the canon of Star Wars movies and to have J.J. Abrams make Episode 8 again before he made Episode 9.
Wait, was it because, I'm sorry guys, if you have not seen Last Jedi, I have to have this conversation with these boys right now. So this is your official spoiler alert. If you are really worried about Last Jedi, then I guess stop listening, but whatever. So, okay, is it because Luke dies at the end or is it because he falters with
Kylo? It's
because
he falters more, I think.
Yeah.
But I feel like that actually is very Luke. And like Luke is born to struggle between the light and the dark.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah, like, and I think that's why it's actually prevail, very affecting like, and really well done.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would agree with you, but yeah. It was just
I do think there's also a certain number of people who just don't, who are A, just trolls, or B, also just hate the idea of Star Wars again being sort of led in many ways by women, by people of color, and all of that. And then they could sort of kind of coast on this whole like, oh, Luke Skywalker wouldn't behave that way kind of thing. And so all these things kind of got conflated together so that everyone's just like, oh man, they're ruining Star Wars.
I might even go so far as to say that Luke faltering with Kylo is probably the clearest way to show how someone who can like channel the Force or whatever has to struggle between good and evil. Because if you think back to Luke's original struggle, that was like really unclear, at least for me as someone who like didn't have this grasp on this whole universe and what all this stuff meant. He's like, oh, just go into this swamp and like, you know, like beat out the dark side, you know? And it was like, oh, okay, that means nothing to me. And then with Anakin in episodes 1 through 3, that was like the most forced situation in the world. Like this fake love story essentially between him and Padme and like being tempted into greatness, blah, blah, blah. Like all of that just like, it was overdone. Like it was too explicit. But like Luke struggling with, am I doing this for the right reasons? Is this really what I should be doing? Like having that moment was actually probably a better kind of picture of struggling between the light and the dark side to me than any other kind of example of that in the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. I think there are definitely things that I didn't love about The Last Jedi, but like the treatment of Luke, I thought was perfect.
Yeah,
and, like,
I agree.
I mean, I've seen it twice now, and like
that was great.
Yeah, and that's another thing people had issue with, actually. So there was all kinds of stuff that, like, yeah.
Why didn't people like that Yoda came back? He was, like, it was cool because he was, like, CGI, but he was, like, CGI from, like, the old films.
Oh, like, no, CGI. Yeah, he wasn't CGI. He was a puppet.
He was a puppet.
They brought Frank Oz, who was the puppeteer, and the voice back.
Yeah, that's perfect then. Yeah, I noticed that. I thought they just CGI'd the puppet in, but I think it was an actual puppet.
Really, people wanted to mount... They didn't like it for reasons that are more about themselves, and then so they just amassed a number of arguments about it, right? But
and I really like what's his face as Kylo. Do people hate
Adam
him?
Adam Driver.
I liked Kylo? Him as Kylo too a lot, but and then the no shirt scene got a lot of memes.
Oh yeah, he's so wide.
Yeah,
he's
really good.
The second that it happened, Maria was like, "Yo, pause, I have to show you something." Like, showed me the full meme catalog of it. It was pretty funny. But yeah, I think he's good because, like, I don't, you know, maybe other people have different maybe other people have, like, different perceptions of Adam Driver, but for me, he's, like, always gonna be Adam on Mean Girls. And, like,
on Girls, right?
Oh yeah, Girls, sorry, not Mean Girls, Girls. And like that kind of childish, but also kind of mature, like prone to do pretty much anything, like scream, like all of that was like channeled in the just right way, I feel like, for Kylo Ren, where like he is a kid and he is like rebelling and he is selfish, but he also like is trying to kind of figure it out. And like when he gets mad and like pummels the Vader-esque helmet into the wall, I was just like, this is such an Adam moment, you know? Like, I don't know. I really got into that. I liked it. Long story short,
we should also say
the Star Wars films are pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that, you know, Daryl and I actually reviewed Last Jedi when it came out in an older episode of the show. And at the time, Daryl said that he saw the movie once and he didn't like it. And then he went back the next day and saw it again. And then he liked it.
Yeah.
Is that fair, Daryl?
That is fair. Yeah. I didn't like it because I didn't like I thought the storytelling was really uneven. And like, yeah, it's just not great in terms of narrative and characters. Like, I didn't like the characters, even the same characters that I had liked the first one, I felt like weren't
like
as
Rey?
Well developed and stuff. I just felt like they were treated a little more woodenly than they were in the first go around or something. Like, they didn't have the personality that they originally had, but I don't know. And then ultimately I like watched it again and I kind of like just didn't
came around
care as much. And I was like, oh, this is actually enjoyable. So yeah, but I still hated the casino part. I thought that was stupid. And
yeah, me too.
I still can't get over the bombing thing, even though I know there's a lot of fake, stupid, made up shit. I can't get over the fact that bombs fall with gravity around some kind
of
spaceship.
I know. Right. Like, there's a lot of stuff in there where I'm just like, really, really confused. Like, I'll get over the fact that Leia was literally pulled into space.
Yeah, right.
And then flew back.
Well,
and
that's
lived.
Like, that's more believable because it's like, yeah, sure, okay, she could protect
She's
herself
magic.
With the force somehow, right?
Yeah.
But like, the rockets are like, it's
and
like,
the
just
bay
do
doors are
way.
Open, and they don't have a helmet on.
Yeah.
And it's like, just what is happening right now? Like, why are
bombers.
They pretending?
You can just like use Y-wings or something, or like just, you know, there are ways to do it where you don't have to
just
do
like
it.
Shoot
they
bomb.
Just had a vision of this set piece and they like made it without thinking too much about.
Oh, I mean,
the logic. Yeah, of it.
I mean, I know you sort of acknowledge this, but it bears repeating that, I mean, X-wings in general don't make any sense as like space planes.
Yeah.
So, you know,
well, neither
if
do
you
the
sort of
other
acknowledge,
ones. Neither do the dark
right.
side fighters.
Right.
No,
they don't
none
make any
of
sense.
Those,
all
none
of
the spacecraft
like,
makes sense, but they all had a sort of kind of like a internal logic, and this just felt like it broke with it for the sake
well,
of
and all of them,
visuals.
And every single one of them, there's always some like bay door open that like the ships fly in and out of in the middle
oh,
of freaking
but
space,
because
and people just get out of there.
Field. It's fine. That's totally, that makes sense. You just got to read the extended universe books.
Yeah. Okay. They should just note it. They should note it in one of the movies.
They should have
just
a guy say
one
like,
of the movies.
"Hey, how come the air isn't gone?" And then
I'm
one
distracted
goes like,
by it every time they run in, and there's like a wide open door to space, and I'm like, "Yo, you're all dead. Like it's over." It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I guess up next is the Solo story, right? Which I hear is like going really poorly.
Yeah.
Well, they fired the directors, not good. And they hired a new director. So we'll see.
Right. So there's that. And
then episode 9, which J.J. Abrams is coming back to make.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it's episode 9 where we'll find out what the deal is with Rey. Because she's got to be related to some of them, right?
I mean, well,
to be like this Jedi-esque.
Movie. Well, to do it, to make her related, either, I feel like at this point, J.J. Abrams would kind of have to be like, screw you, Rian Johnson. Like, I think that was intentional. Like, no, she's not. And she's not. And don't, like, it's not going to be a twist. It's going to be that she isn't. And that's the twist. And that's what you got to deal with. But,
They're going to have to tell something about her lineage, because she can't be so with the Force if all those people are like, there has to be something. It's also just like the Star Wars way. It's always like a family reveal. There's always someone who loses a hand. There's always a fight on a ledge. Like, you have to keep the
interval. No one's lost a hand in the new trilogy, have they?
I don't know.
I mean, it's just C-3PO just with his like red arm, but.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
I don't know, just gruesome injuries, right? Like Finn got hurt, Kylo got hurt with his face.
Yeah, but then he got that cool Band-Aid.
That's true.
Oh, that like really metal Band-Aid or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I did it. And now I'm like, I find myself when I finish work, because like normally I would like finish and it'd be like 6:30 or 7. And I would like start watching a Star Wars movie. And now that's over. There's like nothing that fills that hole, really, you know?
You can watch Clone Wars.
Nah, I don't think so. Is it good?
Clone Wars is actually a good show, and I like the fact that the episodes are real short, too. And they're all over the place in terms of tone.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you really want, you can watch Rebels.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yep. All right, well, it sounds like it is time for us to move on to our review of Terrace House, specifically the new season of Terrace House, Opening New Doors.
Opening New Doors.
Which is on Netflix. But part of the reason we watch this is because Daryl has been watching previous seasons of Terrace House. Like, so, Daryl, maybe just tell us like how you discovered this show and what you liked about it initially.
Okay, well, it was actually The Verge that is how I discovered it. The Verge wrote some story about it, like when the first season was initially available on Netflix, like the first Netflix season, and they just made it seem really compelling. So then I started watching it, and it was amazing. It's just so good. I like reality shows a lot, and I like.
You should explain what it is.
So it's
like
a reality
bunch of people
show.
Don't know anything about this.
It's like it's kind of like the premise is similar to The Real World, the American reality show. Where they have a bunch of strangers move into a house together and live together. But it's like, that's basically where the similarities end. Because then it has, the houses are really nice actually, as part of it. And not nice in like a, whoa, yo, bro, this is so sick, hot tub kind of way. Although sometimes there are hot tubs. But more in like
there's still
this
like
is
three
a
to a room.
Beautiful
right.
house. And then there's also like hosts, so there's a panel of hosts with every episode, and they watch, and then they during breaks of the actual like program, I guess, they talk about what has happened and, you know, make jokes and then predict what
and they're
will
like
next.
They themselves are like comedians and models, so they're just like sitting there.
Yeah
There's so much like that is bizarre about the show to me.
But that is not bizarre, because the panel is like a fairly common like feature of Japanese programming of all kinds.
No, What's bizarre about the panel? I mean, the panel itself could be bizarre just to me because I don't watch Japanese television all that much. Right. But they watch with headphones.
Yeah, they watch on iPads.
iPads with headphones, and then they unplug their headphones and they're like, let's talk about this. And it's like you're all sitting on the same couch.
But they're looking at the cameras, so you can't put the TVs in front of the cameras.
Is there an audience watching them? Because you definitely hear some sort of like background, like studio laughter once in a while.
I think there originally was an audience. And I think it was originally a studio audience. So I don't know. I haven't seen... Because it used to air on... I want to say NHK, but I'm not sure about that. No, Fuji, I think. It aired on one of the big networks. Right. Fuji? Is that right, Anthony?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Netflix got it and they like co-produced a season. And then Netflix is now, I think, taking it over entirely. And it's just a Netflix show that also...
I think it's both, actually.
Oh, is it still?
Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah, because it shows both at the opening credits.
Okay. But yeah, it's been going for a long time. And one day I'll find all the old seasons subbed somewhere. I can probably find it now in a slightly skeezy way, but they're like not generally available. I'm really hoping Amazon just like gets the back catalog and puts subtitles on all of them so I can continue to watch it. It's all I would watch if I was able to, but...
I want to understand your draw to this, right? Because, like, did you like The Real World?
I love The Real World. So that's part of it, right?
And you like Bachelor.
And I like
you
Bachelor.
Like reality shows where people get, like, little confessionals and are talking to each other about just random shit.
Yeah, and I like Jersey Shore. That. And I like Jersey Shore when it was on. And I like all that stuff, right? So, and this is, like, so
this
just,
is just
a
like
very,
a different
very
flavor
different,
of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super different flavor. I also did live in Japan for 6 months. So it's kind of like, oh, I remember what it was like to live in Japan. This is great. So that's part of it too. But yeah, all of that all together. But it's like, it's just the way it's so much more interesting, I think, than the American ones. Because the American ones are like a bunch of people who are clearly extreme personalities, I want to say. Maybe they're actually representative of kind of like general Americans at this point, but like they're people who are close to being unstable. And then they've like associated them, they brought them all together and then like fueled them with alcohol and make them do ridiculous stuff, right? Through like subtle encouragement from the producers or not so subtle encouragement sometimes.
Right. From what I understand, a lot of times it's not subtle at all. It's like, we're going to do that again and this is what you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's like super theatrical, whereas like the Terrace House stuff, I mean, with some exceptions, is like very reserved and like, I think closer to like an actual natural interaction between people.
It's very nuanced. Like we were watching an episode and I swear both the cast and the panel talked about this soup that didn't have enough flavor for like... Mm. 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well,
like,
you haven't seen
the whole episode centered around that.
It's great when they reference stuff from previous seasons too. And as you watch more of it, if you do watch more of it, you'll get to appreciate that. But like, there was another incident with a meat. It was a very special meat that one of the people had received as a gift. And then some of the other housemates cooked and ate that meat without asking permission to do so. And it was an insane incident, which caused so much strife.
But do they really fight and stuff?
They don't. They fight in a very reserved way, where
like
you can
a very
tell
polite
they're
way.
Like
yeah.
very hurt. And but yeah, they keep it mostly to themselves, and it just kind of like erodes the relationship. But they don't like fist fight over it or anything, right?
No, but like, are they yelling? Because like in America,
no, and they don't yell and they don't raise
on the
their
real
voice,
world.
Usually.
That would have been like, yeah, that would have been like a screaming match with expletives, you know?
Right.
But like, or maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, it's just like the nuance of like the little conversations they have, and then they're mixed in with like pretty important conversations about like, I feel like I am a burden to my parents and I need to work harder, you know? And then it's like 20 minutes of like, yeah, I just didn't really want to eat that kind of soup. But like he decided we should have that kind of soup.
And yeah, yeah.
It was really, it didn't have enough flavor, you know? And then they go to the panel and the panel's like, yeah, like he really should have seasoned it, you know? And you're just like,
they were like, there's too much water. And then like, there's like so many jokes about the water.
Yeah. It's just like, what are we watching?
That's what's so wonderful about it. It's like, it's great. It's great.
Even yeah, I will say, go ahead, Anthony.
I don't like reality TV. I like, it makes me really uncomfortable just because I have a really hard time with like social awkwardness. And so like when I watch anything that's like that, I'm just like, this is not pleasurable for me in any way. And this obviously has a kind of like awkwardness too, but
it has an awkwardness that's worse for me. It's like their awkwardness makes me sometimes just want to jump and run away and like leave entirely because it's a more real. I don't know. It's like,
I just found it completely
awkwardness
comforting.
The awkwardness for, the show we're watching, Terrace House, makes you feel more awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when they'll do something like the chef kid, the aspiring chef. When some of the stuff he does, I'm like, oh God, I gotta leave, I gotta go. Like, cause
yeah, he's the one exception that when he talks, I get like very tense. But like, which is funny because then someone of the other characters who he's courting says, every time he talks, I get really tense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I think other than that, I find it just like very, like, they're just all very chill.
Yeah. But do you sense I like the stakes in it though. It's like a kind of a relaxing thing to show, but it does have stakes. It's very touching sometimes.
What
too.
Are the stakes?
Well, it's like the people's futures. Like that's part of it too, and that's like a consistent thread too as you watch more seasons.
It's like, what is your goal? And like, what are you working towards?
And that's, they take that all, like, it's always a theme, and it's like every individual character will challenge other characters to say that, which is like, again, I don't want to be culturally insensitive, but I feel like it is a kind of a particularly Japanese kind of like thing to bring up, right? A motivation, but it's like, it's good. It's very endearing. And then it prompts a lot of like difficult self-reflection in the best of cases on that show. Some characters like this chef guy, I don't think are capable necessarily of that level of self-reflection, but like it happens because they always have kind of like people who fit rough roles, and there's always kind of like an older guide figure or character. And sometimes that character is like played to comical effect or like extreme. Like it's like, you think you're that, but you're kind of a goofball and everybody can tell. Right. But it's so great. And the reason, and everybody can tell, like, you watch it and you're kind of feeling that way about it. And you're like, is this guy like that? Or, you know, is he sort of a figure of fun? And then the panel comes on and they like kind of reinforce whatever feelings you have. And, you know, it's like, oh yeah, okay, I was right. And everybody jokes together. So that's another part of it that's really kind of good, I think, where you're like,
the best thing about it is just that it has you open and expressive. Like, you are so excited right now, Daryl.
Oh yeah.
That means something to me. It really does.
That I like something and enthusiastic,
like,
about it.
You are so into it, and that feels good. I think for all of us, right, listeners, I feel like we've been waiting to hear Daryl get like really amped on something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love the show. And if this season has been pretty good so far. They released them in blocks, right? Like after they air, I think, on Japanese television. They release a few blocks at a time, or a block at a time, with the, I forget how many episodes, like 10 episodes or something. But the first season is like, it's like 40 something episodes, maybe, spread over a couple. It just keeps
going. And then I think they made a movie too.
Of the first one available on Amazon or on Netflix, or a different one?
I don't know. I was just reading like Wikipedia stuff. I think that 40 episode season ends with a movie, which I don't know if it's available on Netflix.
There's a movie of like one of the first Japanese seasons, I think, that is not available on Netflix. But this first Netflix season just goes on and on and on forever. Because it has a weird format where, and this hasn't really come up in this one yet, but people will choose to leave. And this is another place where it like totally departs from anything like from any real world thing, is that like, yeah, people will just like, oh, I've accomplished everything I needed to accomplish here. So now it's time for me to go. And you're like, what? You're leaving the free house with all the cool stuff. Like, nobody would ever do that in an American reality show. They'll get kicked off for punching someone, but they won't leave voluntarily. But then they'll slot in somebody else. And then they just keep going. And then they, like, and the hosts always talk about it. They're like, oh, so we've decided to continue doing another, we'll do another season or another, like not season, but like actual season. Like, oh, we're going to continue for spring. And then they just, I don't know who decides, but somebody decides, oh, we're just going to keep going with this. So yeah, the first season goes on forever. Then there's one in Hawaii, which is also pretty good. It's a little bit, it's interesting to watch the Hawaiian one, which is called Aloha State, because there are a lot of Americans in it who just also happen to speak Japanese or have a Japanese background, but they're like American first, sort of. And then it's, so watching that tension as they have the Japanese characters come in and as they do a little bit more of like what you would expect would be a traditional like American approach to reality TV and how that strikes the hosts is also super interesting. But yeah, they're all really good. I just, my whole point there is just like watch all of it if you like this even a little bit.
Well, people are freaking out about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And they should be forever.
Well, it's also just like it feels more real than our reality television. And like that can make really boring things like very interesting and nuanced. You know what I mean? Because like at the end of the day, like it's not about anything really, you know?
Yeah.
And like these aren't like forced.
Well, it's about opening new doors, Jordan.
You know, like these are just actual normal people who are having actual normal conversations.
Yeah.
And watching some of that is interesting as opposed to like it being forced into this like semi-scripted thing that is reality television over here.
Yeah. And they are like a lot of them are like aspiring actors, actresses and models and stuff, but they're I think almost across the board upfront about that. Like it's not
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They really are. He's like, I'm a pro snowboarder. I have sponsors, whatever. And the other guy's like, yeah, I'm a model. And she's like, I really want to be a model, you know? But I think it's cool too that they like don't give them, you know, like on Real World, they're like, oh, you work at the tanning salon. Mm-hmm. And like, you are going to be managers of this tanning salon. And that was back in the good old days and they had jobs. There was also a time when they just like didn't even have jobs. But these guys are like, oh no, I have to go have dinner with my brother tomorrow night. And I need to get a job here. Like, I'm still going to school. They're all, like, still living their normal life just in this house with these five other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, even that they're, like, they'll sometimes, you know, they'll go to work and, like, they won't film anything. I mean, like, so, for example, I think the hockey player, she's a hockey team and she also works at a gym. But, like, I've seen the first three episodes and I have not seen the gym at all. Like, she'll just disappear. And then you'll see, like, a message on the chalkboard that says, oh, gone to work. But then that's it. You don't like
the girl who's in school. She like goes off to school and like we don't see her at school really. I think there was one scene where the hockey player was talking about her hockey stuff with hockey people.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but like for the most part, they're like going out and living these normal lives. They're like, oh, my dad has like a soba restaurant. Like, let's go eat there. And you like meet the dad and it's not in some weird like.
It's not a
forced
setup.
Way. It's like, yeah, it's like, oh, no, we're just going to, yeah, that her dad's right here. And then you hear about, like, you know, oh, my dad raised us alone, you know? And, like, you, like, get into, like, more meaty stuff that's, like, happened naturally. And it just feels very easy to watch in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But, and it doesn't feel, like, orchestrated, like, because, like, actually everyone has a life. And so you get very few scenes where they're literally all together because most of the time somebody's like, oh, I got to go see my parents. Yeah, oh, I got to go to work. And like, so they're like smaller groups. But it feels, you know, it just feels like a house that people live in. I mean, except for the fact that then they all sleep on top of each other in these like crazy bunk bed situations.
Yeah, those bunk beds, man.
Yeah, there's always a boys and a girls room and it always consists of three bunk beds each. So.
Wait, so one of my main questions about Terrace House is like, is the point that relationships, that these people are supposed to form romantic relationships with one another? Because they keep like,
that
it's
is,
not like ever it, said super explicitly, but then at the same time, they're like, last relationship 2 weeks ago, last relationship 6 years ago. It's like, why is that relevant information alongside her profession and age?
No, you know? It like, is an explicit point and they do, they're like, part of their goal in coming there is to potentially find love, right? There's a few people who come in like in relationships, but generally not. And
yeah. And does it always end up like where it's like 3-3-3 or?
Yeah, they always have a 3-3-3 balance.
No, but does it always end up where like there are three couples at the end or oh, like?
No.
Is there like a shining couple example? Like on Survivor, Rob met Amber and they're like the Survivor couple, you know, that like anytime there's a romance, they're like, oh, it's Rob and Amber, you know? Yeah, like, is there a couple from the Terrace House that's like
there's
weathered
the
storm?
A few people have stayed together and stuff, I think. And there's one like from Aloha State that stayed together, even though it's like long distance, but they still are, I think, based on, what do you call
intensive research you do every night?
Well, based on Instagram, yeah. But
just keeping up with all the Terrace House
people. Although all their Instagram accounts are in Japanese.
Yeah, that's fine. I got it.
Daryl's got it.
Wow. Yeah, so it's I don't know. It's great. And they do to your point about like people being having regular lives and stuff, like there's stuff in some of the other seasons where like a character will come in, just be really busy all the time because they got a lot of work to do, and then like leave, and you haven't really seen them at all, but that was what they had to do because something came up or whatever, like some real life thing came up. So it's cool like that. Also, it makes you really excited because new people are coming in. Every time new people come in, it's great. They do a whole thing where they like show them talking to like a friend of theirs or something about, oh, I'm going to be on Terrace House. Remember when I told you I might be on it? I'm going to be on it. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm so nervous. And then, but they don't show their face. They just show like their neck down or something or like their back. And then you see their face for the first time when they like walk into the house and everybody else is so excited. And then everybody immediately is like, so what's your type? And they go like, oh, I like somebody who's like athletic and driven and outdoors.
I like how the one girl this time, and they're like, what's your type? And she's like, I like guys who are like kind of tough on me and uninterested in me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, preach, girl.
And then
the
chef guy was like, I like them to be like my mother. And everyone's like, well,
yeah.
I was like, yeah,
well,
they need to
the
take care of me
like
mother.
I just
mother.
Want them to do everything for me. Like, just like do everything for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Really unembarrassed about it.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing he said was like, he just was like, oh yeah, I hope she's like really ugly without her makeup because then I'll make fun of her. What's wrong with you?
A very juvenile approach to flirting.
Yeah,
that kid.
He's super young, like, which is part of it, but it's
yeah. But like,
right?
19,
I mean, although they're all like
you should.
They're all fairly young, and like the 31-year-old is. They all call him like the old guy.
Yeah, he is the old guy.
Which is crazy. I think he's got like more of a handle on everything, as he should.
Yeah, he's great. He's got a good mustache going on too.
Yeah, I think he's really attractive too, mm-hmm. to be honest. More so than the
and
guy who's
like,
actually a model, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, the guy who's actually a model looks
pretty
like
good
a
looking.
Geek, but it's he's hafu, so that's why.
But he's super chill too.
Yeah.
And I think like he's got something going with the hockey girl, so.
Yeah, I think so too. That's really, I like that romance that's coming up. That's,
yeah, it's like kind of a curveball.
It was
honestly.
Total curveball.
But it all moves like, the thing that's like cool is like, or like different is how slow it moves that like, they flirt, but there's no like hooking up. At least that's none that's acknowledged. And it's like, all right, let's go on a date. And then like I, you know, just scrolling ahead, it was like, oh, the date happens like four episodes later.
Yeah, right.
Well,
even
when they're talking, like even, there's a scene where the two of the guys are in like the hot tub together. And they're like, yeah, the one girl, she like designs lingerie. I'm like, yeah, I bet she has a nice figure. But like not, like I say that in a good way. Like maybe we'll get to see it. But I say that in a good way, like you can't help but be curious. You know, like they're like, even the locker room talk is like really tame
yeah.
and mostly polite. You're just like, wow, these two guys are both kind of into this girl, but they like, they're going to be really polite about it. And
oh, that?
Like, yeah, I'm sure she does have a nice figure.
That's like a consistent thread too. It's like people will often compete for the affection of the same person, but it's like,
oh yeah, it's coming.
The most polite, like courteous competition you've ever seen. It's awesome.
How do we feel about the music cues?
Sometimes I feel like the music completely drowns out the conversation, which is fine because it's in Japanese for me, because it's in Japanese and I'm reading. But like sometimes I can't even hear them over the music.
Yeah. Well, they use a lot of like English lyric music too.
Yeah, they do.
It's I like it. I'm a little sad in this when they changed the theme song, and the old theme song was iconic. Like just
although according to Wikipedia, apparently the theme song in Japan is actually a Taylor Swift song, New Romantics. Yeah. But presumably Netflix was like, we're not going to pay to broadcast that in the US because it's probably some crazy amount of money.
I think all the music has been relicensed. Like, I think it's different, but I don't know. Anyway, it's wonderful. You got to watch it. The cinematography just like, is so like, good too. It's just like the shots are really nice. They use like a nice, non-contrasty palette. Like it looks great, and that's part of the joy of it, is just like looking at all these beautiful architectural spaces. They also pick really interesting like houses for them to live in.
You love
it. Well, I was gonna say about the music, like, is that a lot of it, because there's drama but it's relatively low stakes, is that sometimes this you know, intensely sad or happy song will come on, and like the scene underneath it won't be that dramatic. And it'll just be it's not like a bad effect. I find it like kind of, you know, interesting or just funny, but there's definitely sometimes a mismatch between sort of
it's not
the emotional
mismatch,
register
Anthony.
Of the
you're
music.
Just not perceiving everything that's going on in the scene. And the music
cue is deeper part of why I like than it. What they're saying,
yeah.
man.
But yeah, that's what I'm like, he's like feeling so many things, but he just can't say it. Oh man, this song is like expressing it. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. It's good.
It's like a Disney movie.
And then to like reinforce that, if you go to the panel, they'll be like, oh, and you're like, what? What do you mean? Why are you guys so like?
You guys are worked up too, just like the music.
Yeah, exactly.
Panel's pretty funny though. I like them.
Oh, they're awesome.
There's like the one guy who's like young and like really doesn't speak a word.
Yeah.
And then there's the
young guy is rotating
too.
That position rotates to whatever young popular actor is hot at the time. And then everybody else is static. They always remain.
Yeah, and I like those two women.
Yeah, they're great. They're great.
They're pretty interesting.
Yeah.
On the panel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't really have like a favorite character from the cast right now at all, except for maybe the hockey player girl, because she just seems like really comfortable with herself, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'd say this cast is a bit more. There's not really any one person that like stands out. Besides the kid, but he's like stands out for the wrong reasons.
I like the snowboarder a lot. He just seems like and the model, the male model. I think they're both like very like seem like. I don't know, just like very likable, and like there's a moment where like the snowboarder starts talking about himself, and like it's really like openly emotional with the younger kid, and it not only made me like the snowboarder more, but it made me like, because he felt comfortable being open and emotional with this kid, it made me like the kid more.
Yeah, I find myself like hoping that the chef kid like really does something. Do you know what I mean? Like cleans it up a little bit, or like figures
you
himself
want him
out,
to turn
or like
around
you want,
and realize. Yeah. But it doesn't look like it's going that way. It looks like he's alienating even the people that were his allies before, and it's gonna go bad for him. Yeah, because the other guys are like,
I'm only three episodes.
Oh in. Right, okay. Yeah, keep watching. I won't say anything else.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of hard
Anthony
to
already
super spoil.
Did a
this,
spoiler but, earlier, but
yeah. Anyway, that's not the point of it. The point of it is the journey. It's not where they end up.
I would also say that my girlfriend does not like, I mean, she like watches TV, but she doesn't like watching a ton of stuff or like watching a bunch, like binging. Mm-hmm. And like usually when I watch something, she'll just be like, And we watched the first episode of this together. And like this is the first time in our relationship history, she's turned to me and said, I'm hooked.
Ooh.
Wow. Wait, so she doesn't binge watch things?
No. No.
So
like everything I've watched for this show, I watch on my own because she's like, you know,
it's like
a
red flag for me, man. It's a deal breaker.
So that like Tara also loves this, just loves it. But you got to watch what Terrace House, what is it? What's it called? Boys and Girls in the City, then. Put that on your queue.
I almost accidentally watched that one because I didn't really know what we were watching.
Oh, I think you'll,
but
all,
I didn't.
You'll all love it.
Where are they in that one?
They're in Japan. They're in Tokyo.
And then there's also ones on the beach, I hear.
That's the Aloha State, which is also really good. I just think Boys and Girls in the City is like unbeatably good. 46 episodes, so don't worry.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got to introduce us to this. Just in time, it seems. It's very trending.
Yeah. Well, it's I think it had like it had a moment around the like when it debuted on Netflix, and then it's been just kind of consistent since. And now that this season has come out in North America, it's like back up again. But it's great. I hope it sticks around forever. And then yeah, they have like so. Terrace House Boys X Girls Next Door is the seasons that are only available in Japan. And there are 8 seasons of it between 2012 to 2014 and a standalone movie. So I really hope that becomes available sometime in future.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, before we end the episode, I think we have one last piece of news that we have to discuss, which is sadly, that this is Daryl's last episode, at least as a TechCrunch host of this podcast. We're going to find ways to sort of drag him back on. And also, we all know he's going to come back and work for TechCrunch again in like a year.
Yeah, of course.
But
yeah.
For
as
now,
he, as he does.
You're,
yeah, but
you're leaving us, Daryl.
The boomerang effect.
I know. It's a, yeah, this one's a pretty consistent boomerang, but for a lot of people. but yeah, I'm moving on, but I'm still going to watch streaming stuff, so I'll be back to guests here and there, as allowed by you two. But yeah, it's
no rules on the original content podcast. You know that.
I know.
That's right.
Yeah, we're really gonna miss you, Daryl, and wish you a lot of luck.
Thanks. Yeah.
As you head out into the big old Canadian world.
Well, I just had to do my best, as the Terrace House people would say, and you know. Ganbatane, which means go for it. So,
oh my god. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, on that note, just quickly, you know, for everyone listening, thank you for listening. If you feel like it, it would help us a lot if you subscribed on Apple Podcasts or the podcast app of your choice. Or left us a rating. Yeah, Daryl, we are really going to miss you.
I'll miss you all too.
Pour one out for Daryl, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, do shots or whatever. It's good.
Yeah.
Good time.
Celebrate.
Yeah.
The reign of terror is over.
I always Daryl, drink when I listen to podcasts.
I will add one final irony, which is that Daryl has been bitching at me for however long to like fix my mic setup. I guess I have feedback or whatever. And literally everything that I need, I've been shipping stuff from Amazon and all that stuff. It's all coming
good
for the next episode. So like you're going to miss it.
That will be my legacy.
You're going
to
miss it.
He'll get to enjoy it as a listener.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Awesome. Leave us a review, Daryl.
All right, I will. Yeah, I'll subscribe also. Yeah, I already do that, guys.
Cool. All right, thanks, guys. We'll miss you. Until next week.
Bye.